because you'll have discovered that time spent flying is not subtracted from your lifespan, which he ain't doing right now.
And that's enough talking. Let's go flying.
Don't forget Pornhub.com/Jack Hodgson.
Okay. after show. I need a quick break.
Yeah, yeah, 30 seconds or so.
Yeah, 30, 45 seconds. I'll be right back. Probably true.
While we're kind of figuratively taking a break, I'm just amazed at the world in which we live. I just became aware. You know the Kraft macaroni and cheese? You know,
yes.
You know, you get a box and it's got macaroni in it, and then it's got an envelope of the powdered sauce.
Yes.
You can buy the sauce separately. Yes. I bought a 1-pound container of this stuff.
Holy moly.
And,
yeah.
And I haven't tried it yet, but I'm just excited as all hell because I could use like other than elbow macaroni to make my macaroni and cheese now.
Okay.
It's
just, where did you get that?
Amazon. Seriously. I you know, thread I was reading on some blog. There was this link and I clicked it and like, oh my God, this is why we exist. Okay. This is, you know, between, airplanes, between beer, and now we have the cheese part of macaroni and cheese that we can buy anywhere or use anywhere, anytime. Is this a great country or what?
Life is good, huh? Yeah, I know.
What a country. Well,
I want to know, I'm sorry, David, I'll come back to you. Jeb, I want to know, what other than pasta do you plan to apply this to?
Well, no, as I say.
Anything, right?
Yes, is the quick
anything.
Answer. Yes.
Yeah. Grill some steaks and cheese.
And steak,
right?
And cheese, yeah. Well, I mean, that's a famous sandwich, right? I mean, what's to stop me? But
Higdon, I can't recall the last time I heard him so excited about something. This is really,
yeah,
just phenomenal. Well, phenomenal.
And I buy taco seasoning mix in bulk.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I don't have to buy the kits. I buy shells when I need them, and I got this big jar of taco seasoning, 4 tablespoons and 1 pound of ground meat, and you're off to the taco race.
What a time to be alive.
I know, huh?
A country.
See, now you're teasing me with macaroni and cheese because that's one of the things I'm trying to cut back on here is this whole fitness thing.
Yeah.
Not the cheese part. Although I will. Here's what I want to point out, not to deflate your balloon, because that really tickles me to hear you so pleased about anything, so excited
anything.
About anything. But I don't know anything. But this about something. All right. I will point out, and you were wise to refer to it not as the little bag of cheese, but the little bag of sauce, because there's probably little or no cheese.
There's little to no cheese in this.
Yeah, you know,
it's
it is tasty.
And salt.
I will admit. Yeah. And I can the possibilities are limitless for that stuff.
We can do linguine and cheese.
Yeah.
We can do rotelli and cheese.
I know. But the cheese part is not – you're right. And I do – although I like elbow macaroni, but you're right. There are lots of interesting pastas that you could apply
and
cheese
even,
to.
You know, more than one size of elbow macaroni.
Yeah. Oh, and that sauce would go really well with the spiral noodles because it wraps all the way around.
Uh-huh. Lots of surface area there to apply cheese to. That's
elbows, you know, you get the sauce inside the noodle.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that's, you know, that's
But then you don't
epical.
Have to.
That's important.
This way you don't have to settle for those little bitty damn elbow noodles that come in the box.
Exactly.
You can get the big macaroni.
You just made my point for me. See?
Yeah.
You know, what a time to be alive.
All right. So let's see now. So Jeb is the cheese sauce, and Dave is the taco sauce. I'm trying to think of what my comparable thing is, you know. Well, you know, being a Hodgson, chocolate certainly is a factor.
Chocolate is important.
Yeah, we are a chocolate family for sure, and it's also one of the things I'm not supposed to touch now because I'm trying to get fit and you know, because it is See, I, by the way, and I'm glad you kind of gave me a hard time about this, but the fact of the matter is that I restrain from myself from describing this time of year as being bikini season. All right. Because I knew the image of... Yeah, okay. Yeah, so... we're well into the after show, I'm pretty sure here.
I'm sitting here looking at Ring a Trailer. There's an 01 Porsche Boxster S that goes off in about 4.5 hours, and I'm kind of in love with this car.
We'll buy it.
Well,
where is it?
In California.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe
well,
not.
There's this new thing. It's called car shipping.
Yeah, but, yeah, okay.
It's, you know, another grand. But.
So I'm going to try and find you. I want to send you a little. Ooh, don't click that link. Jeez, I almost just closed
is
the cast
that the, is that the, oh, yeah. That's not the Pornhub / Jack Hodgson link, is it?
So, no. You know, I got just this morning, I got an email from my guy who takes care of putting me on the internet, porno stuff. He was warning me that, you know the email I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I cracked your system and I turned on your camera and I got pictures of you doing... And I,
oh, yeah.
I'm always tempted to send that guy... Well, of course, there's nobody to send it back to. I'm always tempted to send him back, you know, cool, let's see it, you know?
I'll show you mine if you'll show
you
me.
You show me yours.
Yours.
Right, yeah.
Now, we need to back away from this train of thought.
You think? I'm going to send you this link here. I've almost found it. Here it is right here. Oh, now I'm going to do this, and then we've got immediately mute it. Oh, yeah, you didn't hear it, but boy, that was loud. All right, and so now I'm going to go share, and I'm going to go copy, and oh. Well, I'll put this link. Yeah, of course. No, I can put it in cast, and you can. Are you guys still there? I didn't hang up on you.
No, you didn't hang up.
All right, right there and right there. All right, turn down your song because this guy's loud. But the interesting thing about this guy is he buys these cars to fix them. All right, and he just bought this Lamborghini. All right, that's like pretty beat up. Although, from my experience watching this guy. He will probably put this thing back together and turn it. He apparently, and this is a YouTuber. This is why I want to be a YouTube guy, all right? Because this is a mid-level YouTube celebrity, if you will, all right? This guy, whose name, I'm not even sure what his name is, because I don't think he tells us his name very much. Anyways, and he just, car after car, and then he videos the process of restoring these cars. And he paid... $100,000 for this Lamborghini that's beat up. And
describe beat up. I mean, what's wrong with it?
Well, if you let the video roll silently for a couple seconds, you'll see pictures. So apparently, got into a rollover of some sort, and one side is dinged up, and the sort of roll barish thing is. Let's see now, roundabout.
Oi.
But. You know, he's demonstrated over and over again that he can pull this off, that he can fix these things. If this is actually going into the after show listeners, the website is called, or the YouTube channel is called B is for Build. And if you're into car restoration or car stuff, I'm enjoying this channel. But you, the Boxster you mentioned made me think of this one. Is that this guy's probably gonna do an interesting restoration on this Lamborghini, and sounds like it's not that badly banged up, and mostly cosmetic with probably a little bit of suspension issues. But the previous car he restored was similarly banged up. Actually, probably worse, more banged up than this, and he got it running and working. So. Anyways, so this is me. You should buy the Boxster, all right, and like this guy,
I'm out of garage space.
Yeah. You have a hangar.
It's got airplanes and motorcycles and lawnmowers in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of occupied.
It's not full, but it's getting there.
That's true. Well, it actually is, since you've overflowed into yet another hangar elsewhere in the neighborhood.
I guess that's true, too. Yeah.
You know, so maybe you are full, but... I'm waiting for the day. I'm waiting for the day when you put the lift in that side garage door.
I have thought about that a lot, and if I think we talked about this, if I'd kept that old Taurus SHO of mine, and started to rebuild it, I would have gotten a lift because it would have needed that kind of work.
They're not, I was actually
$2,000. I can have one.
They're
installed.
Not wildly expensive. I know. Yeah. They require some intelligent installation.
Well, it depends. If you've got, I forget what the there's like two basic designs. One is a two post and one is a four post. And I think the two post requires testing the concrete.
Exactly.
And maybe shooting some bolts into the concrete if it's sturdy enough or reinforcing the concrete if it's not. Either way, you got to shoot some bolts into it to bolt it down. The four post, I think you can, because it distributes the weight differently,
right.
You can use it without all that.
But, of course, the two post seems to be the more useful, if you ask me.
To me too.
Because the suspension parts more or less stay out of the way.
Yeah.
If I had a garage like you have a garage, I would have put a lift in it a long time ago for sure. Yeah. But you have priorities and I have priorities and mine are right and yours are wrong. What can I say?
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else could be said?
I don't know.
So we got this after show thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it may be over. this may be as good as it's going to get, folks. You know what I wanted to talk about? The one thing that was on the list that we didn't get to that I didn't the 10 best-selling airplanes.
Yeah, okay.
All right, and I don't necessarily want to review the list because that is, I think, good stuff for the main podcast. The part about this list that depressed the heck out of me, and I can't find it right now, but from my memory, the number one best-selling GA airplane only sold 180-ish units. And that's just depressing.
Yeah,
that's one model.
That's one model.
But still,
well,
the best-selling model only sold 180 units in, I'm assuming that's a year? That's just depressing. And I'm not new. I'm not naive. I know these numbers are always very low. I remember years ago when I first got involved with aviation, and I was at the time working in Silicon Valley, so I was deeply, deeply into the tech world. And I was horrified to discover that the installed base of airplanes was like 250,000, you know, I mean, which would be a failed anything product in the tech world.
I don't want to necessarily blow the magazine's horn here, but in the April issue, I got a one-page summary of Gamma's numbers for 2018. The Gamma, General Aviation Manufacturers Association, recently held its annual, state of the industry press conference, where they announced. Come out with a sizable report with a lot of data in it, and announced the sales numbers for 2018. And happily, all those numbers, except one small one, was up year over year. Global airplane shipments increased 4.7% in 2018, and that's great news. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
News.
I mean, it is, and up, because up is way better than
up
down.
Up is way better than down. And if you look at the numbers, you know, they're basically up across the board, except for rotorcraft billings, which is representative of there being proportionally more piston powered rotorcraft sold in 2018 than turbine powered rotorcraft.
But all, the sad part of these numbers.
Let me just read a paragraph to you.
Okay.
Still, 2,443 new aircraft is a far cry from the industry's heyday of the late 1970s, when Gamma's numbers show 17,811 new aircraft were shipped in 1978. Of them, a whopping 14,398 were single-engine pistons. And as parenthetically, I said, you know, we'd guess the majority of them are still flying. Indeed, the 1978 shipment number for piston-powered multi-engine airplanes, 2,634 new piston twins that year, easily exceeds 2018's 2,443 shipments of all aircraft types.
Mm, yeah.
And piston twins these days are basically a how many.
What intrigues me about this
sold,
list,
but it's not that.
Oh,
many.
I'm sorry.
No.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What intrigues you, David?
Well, many years ago, walking around this town and talking about new development, the common opinion is that Cirrus Aircraft would never certify an airplane, or they would never certify an airplane with a parachute. Or if they did certify with the parachute, people wouldn't want to take it out for the extra useful load, which you can't do because the parachute's part of the type certificate. 4 of these 10 airplanes are Cirri. The SR-22T, the 22, the Vision Jet, and the SR-20.
Yeah.
All in the top 10.
Yeah, no, that was impressive. I agree.
There are 2 Cessnas on the list. The Grand Caravan EX and the 172.
And the 172, yeah.
There's a Piper. There's a Gulfstream. There's a Pilatus. And a Technam. It's an interesting collection.
It is a pretty broad range. I agree. That's kind of interesting. And the fact that the Cirrus Jet was on there impressed me. That took me by surprise. I'm pleasantly surprised. But
well, they sold 63 of them last year.
Yeah. Well, you know. Okay.
And they're
so
still spooling up.
Yeah.
And where is it? Oh, the Gulfstream. Oh, now that's not fair.
Yeah.
What's the matter?
It's all their models. Not a specific model.
Yeah, they combined a 450, 500, 555, 650, and 650 ER into a total of 92 Gulfstreams sold. But boy, there's some major differences between those.
Big time.
Yeah.
And all of them cost more than I've got in my pocket. So.
The Technam is interesting. Is that the 4-seat or 2-seat Technam?
Thought it was LSA.
It's P2008. Is the model? It's a shame we don't have a way to look up.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking for it right now. Let's see here.
It's 2-place LSA. That to me is kind of. Let me get back to my microphone here. That to me is kind of heartening. In the sense that basically an entry level light sport, obviously, whether it's used as trainer or as personal transportation or $100 hamburger on a Saturday afternoon, I don't know, but I just find that to be a good sign when you're dealing with a list that includes Gulfstreams and other jets.
Yeah,
but
it discourages me. It depresses me to that if you can sell 63 airplanes, you'll get in the top 10.
Solid agreement. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The big difference between 2019 and 1978 can be boiled down to one piece of legislation. Investment tax credit.
Right, that tax thing back then.
I agree. Yeah. ITC was a major part of the ways in which aircraft were purchased and put into service back then. It's not that simple, but clearly the ITC is a big part of that. I mean, you had accelerated cost recovery system depreciation. You had high inflation. You had the beginnings, if you will, of airline deregulation. 1978 was when the airline deregulation itself was passed by Congress. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff going on, and peeling that onion is people have maybe devoted their careers to trying to figure out how to change those numbers and change that trajectory. Right.
On the other hand, it was pre-limited liability.
So, well, that's the other thing going on is it took, which theoretically
was reducing the number of airplanes sold.
Until 1996,
yeah.
Almost 20 years later, after the bottom fell out, GARA, the General Aviation Revitalization Act, was passed and signed into law, and that in and of itself is responsible for. I think, two aircraft. Well, let me crank that. Four aircraft on the list. Five aircraft on the list, excuse me.
Yeah.
All of the Cirruses would not be here, I don't think, without product liability reform for general aviation. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is true for the Cessna 172. It would not have
172
been,
for sure. It was in fact gone.
Yeah,
right?
Production had ceased. And
yes.
Russ Meyer, Dave?
Russ Meyer.
Who was the one who said, pass product liability and we'll start making piston aircraft again.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was in the White House when President Clinton signed the General Aviation Recovery Act into law. That became my number one assignment for several months, was trying to scope out where in Kansas Cessna was going to build a new factory on a green field. It turned out to be Independence, but it gave me a lot of opportunities to fly the little Cherokee we had all around the state, visiting airports that were on the short list. My bosses never knew I did. Well, my publisher knew I was flying the trips, but my immediate bosses didn't know because there was a funky limitation.
This was when you were with the Eagle, right?
Yeah.
You were the aviation editor for the Eagle or aviation contributor for the Eagle, but if they had known you were actually flying an airplane, they would have been unhappy.
If I was flying the airplane while I was working, yeah.
Yeah, go figure, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I remember flying it to the first time I flew to Florida was for a general aviation forecast conference in Tampa. And it was in line with a bunch of people, captains of industry. And we're getting ready to check in and go to the welcome reception. And the dominant conversation was everybody's crappy experience getting to Tampa on the airlines.
I know. I love it.
And the head of Mooney at the time was talking to me, and he said, wait a minute. Didn't you fly yourself here? I went, yeah. In a general aviation aircraft. Yeah. What? A Piper Cherokee. And he stopped the discussion in that line and said, hey, folks, we actually have one guy here that flew a general aviation airplane to the General Aviation Forecast Conference. Yeah. I was surprised that there were enough people from Wichita there. I was surprised that the word didn't get back to my bosses, but I was eminently grateful for their discretion.
Oh, yeah, right, okay. Yeah, okay.
I had a similar episode years ago when I was working for, shall we say, a large multinational corporation. Mm-hmm. And I had travel was a big part of the job, and I had planned a several-stop trip. Mainly to kind of show the flag and check in with some people. And the more I thought about it, the more, you know, I don't really want to go through Atlanta that many times. Or I don't want to have to, you know, rent a car and drive for X number of miles once I get to Atlanta or whatever it was.
Right.
Multi-day trip anyway. And so I convinced my immediate boss to use an airplane. And I borrowed a Skyhawk and did the trip, I don't know, two or three, 4 days, and got back, submitted my expenses, and kind of waited. And being a Japanese-based company, a Japan-based company, we had obviously a lot of Japanese managers involved, some of them in the dispersing offices. And one day I get a call from one of my principal contacts who was Japanese. And, hey, Jeb, how's it going? Oh, not too bad. He's, what this? was basically the next words out of his mouth. And, they paid my expenses and basically said, don't do that again.
Okay. Yeah. They're in their minds, the rationale is it's dangerous?
No. Workers' compensation insurance rarely covers accidents relating to general aviation aircraft while you're on the job. You have to pay extra for that, and very few companies do.
Right. So they may not think it's dangerous, but
they don't care.
But the insurance people,
they don't care if it's dangerous or not. It's not according to their rules.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, all right. All right. I think we've covered the bases here. And between macaroni and cheese putting one over on the man. And
Pornhub.com.
And Pornhub.com. I think, yes. Like this list of top 10, we've covered all the bases here. Yes. All right. That's it. We're done.
I'm trying to figure out, though, how to work in Pornhub.com/Jack Hodgson into my Twitter feed.
Yeah, okay. All right. Just make sure you look first to make sure there isn't such a thing.
Well, there is that. You know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah. And, because there are Jack Hodgsons in the world. It's a hobby of mine, too. On Twitter, I follow every Jack Hodgson I find.
Have you talked to anybody about this?
What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I just, you know, I'm checking up on all the Jack Hodgsons and lording over them the fact that I've got the Twitter name Jack Hodgson and they don't, right?
That's always healthy online.
For the most part, they seem to be either very quiet or very reasonable. I've yet to find one that is a total jerk. For that matter, last name, there's a Nikki Hodgson, NHCA, a woman, NICHI Hodgson in Great Britain, who is some sort of LGBTQ, I'm sorry, I'm messing that acronym up, activist. And I find it interesting to follow her. She has some interesting things she's involved with that I completely approve of. Anyways. Okay, now we're done with the podcast. Now we're done with the after show.
Yay!